Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, the issue today, judge not, lest you should be judged. It's found in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let me read a few of those verses. We read them earlier. But for those that did not pick up on that, so that you're not lost in the weeds, let's do that again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and following. Judge not, that you be not judged. And there's in the English grammar, there's a period there. Then it starts out in verse 2, 4. That's the little Greek word gar, because why does Jesus say, judge not, lest you should be judged, or judge not? He says, for with what judgment ye meet, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me Pastor Davis today. Pastor Davis and I always enjoy having this time together where we talk about biblical truth and look
Amen.
At a biblical issue.
Amen.
And
what a blessing.
One that perhaps would be a challenge or a question to our listeners in relationship to that. But there's that unique prohibition that's given in that first 2 verses. And that's the thing that always done. Pastor, the key thing is most people take a verse out of context
Amen.
Or a
Amen.
Word out of context and leave the balance of the unit of thought, the context, out.
Amen.
I've said many times in my teaching in the classroom in the university, there are 5 things that are important about study of the Word of God. That's context, 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 context.
Amen.
If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext. It should never be used for a text.
Amen. Amen.
And
I am so grateful, Dr. Youngblood, to be under your teaching because, you know, when I heard that and the way that you explained it, context, 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 that drive home a point to me.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't really look at it from that particular standpoint until you expressed it so greatly and laid it out so wonderfully. And then when I looked at each of those aspects of what you were saying, context, context, it really makes sense because a lot of times that's what the people of God do.
That's right.
In other words, like the old people used to say, they get the cat by the tail, and then they go running down the road with it.
That's right.
Amen. So
that's
we have to learn.
Isn't it?
Amen. First, get it right.
That's right.
You know, get it right from the beginning, and then it doesn't end up being criticism.
Yes.
You end up making, amen, the right call about situation.
Yes.
Because we have to make decisions about things every day in life.
Absolutely.
So in order to make the right decision, we need the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, so what Pastor Davis is just saying and what we have been talking about now in this broadcast today is analyzing the text, judge not. Let me remind you again, this is one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted, malused text in all of the Bible. In fact, Pastor, if I'm not mistaken, there's about 200, I believe it's about 286 times in the Bible you find the word judge
Amen.
And judging. It is a major, major, major study in all of the Scripture. But the unusual parable that Jesus gives in verse 3 and 4 is the key, the key. Notice he says, for, that second word verse, for, gar, because, with what judgment you judge, etc. He is warning us that as we mete out judgment, as we criticize as we censure, as we examine, as we investigate, as we look at with a high scrutiny under the microscope of what is sin in an individual's life, we need to be very, very clear that that's not in our lives.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Literally
Amen.
What Jesus is saying in the balance of the text.
Amen.
Notice the defect that he points out there in that third verse. It's a fascinating verse, Pastor. And why beholdest thou? See, he's talking about for gar, because whatever judgment you pass, you're going to be judged with the same judgment. Then he uses an illustration, a parable, as you would call it. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Amen.
Here's what is so fascinating with that, Pastor, and I've enjoyed this study so many times down through the years. But literally, the challenge is, why beholdest, why look at? You know, some have used the term, you strain a gnat, swallow a camel.
Amen.
Jesus is saying, if you can use the young blood vernacular, why are you straining at a gnat and swallowing the camel? Why are you beholding, looking at sin in the brother's eye? Why are you looking at that little small mote, that splinter? He's saying mote. You could some translate it splinter, some translate it toothpick, some translate it a speck, some call it sawdust. Why are you looking at the sawdust, the speck, the splinter that's in our brother's eye? And then he says, but considereth not. That is, you don't recognize, you don't realize, you don't pay attention, you're not looking at the log, the 2x4, the beam that's in your own eye.
Telephone pole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
What Jesus is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is if you're going to call sin, sin, that's okay, as we'll see in a moment. That's okay. But you got to, first of all, consider that beam, that log, that 2x4, that's in your own eye.
Amen.
Let's say that a person has that speck, that toothpick in his eye. Make it difficult to see.
Amen.
But if you've got a 2x4 in your eye, you're blinded with it.
Amen.
And Jesus is saying, why do you look at that speck, that splinter, that sawdust, that toothpick that's in thy brother's eye, and not even notice the 2x4, the beam, the log, the telephone pole that's in your own eye?
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying there. He is saying you need to realize and pay attention and notice your own sin. Now, does that mean that a person's got to be sinless before you point out sin in somebody else's eye? There's not one of us, ladies and gentlemen, that's sinless. You have those that are saved sinners and those that are lost sinners.
Amen.
Those that are saved sinners are those that have said yes to Jesus Christ. We're under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our sins have been remitted. All of our sins have been covered by the shed blood of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that doesn't mean that we're sinless.
Amen. Sinners saved by grace.
Sinners
Praise
saved
God.
By grace. Absolutely.
Amen.
And yet you have those that are lost that are continuing in their sin. But ladies and gentlemen, in either event, let's look at it on this basis. Jesus is making the challenge there. And he points out in that challenge, why? Why is it you're looking at that toothpick in your brother's eye, that small sin, if you want to call it that?
Amen.
There's no such thing as small sin.
And some of it's petty.
Some of it's petty.
Amen.
There's no such
Praise
thing
God.
As small sin. Sin is sin before God. But Jesus is saying, why do you look at that speck, that 2x4 is in your own eye, and that toothpick that's in your brother's eye? But considereth not, do not recognize and realize, it's like a drunk saying to a person, you're drinking.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
It's
Amen.
Like a drunk saying, you ought not to drink. It's like an individual that's got a refrigerator full of Jack Daniels and Miller Lowlife and Bud Dumber that says, you ought not to drink, and they've got the refrigerator full of it.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is pointing out here very clearly. Jesus is saying very clearly, and this is applicable, I believe, today, Pastor, as much as in Christian history, where you have those today that will be saying, look at me on Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I carry a thick King James Bible. I can quote John 3:16 in 12 languages.
Amen.
And I do a super job with being faithful in my tithes and offerings. But on Monday through Saturday, I live like the devil himself.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That same person, that same individual then will say, you ought not to do this and you ought not to do that, or that's sin. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very dangerous. Jesus is saying, if you're going to cast the net, if you're going to go out and say you're a sinner and you're living in sin, especially that same sin, then Jesus says, be very, very careful, because the same condemnation that you give for them, that condemnation will come back to you.
Amen.
Exactly. Well, what Jesus is saying.
Well, he addressed that person, Dr. Youngblood, in verse number 5.
Yes.
Because he said, thou hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
He's calling you out.
Yes, absolutely.
A hypocrite is nothing but a person that's playing a part.
A play actor.
That's right. You're acting sanctimonious on a Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, we can't even tell who you are.
That's right. Right.
Because you take your Bible home and throw it on the shelf, and it collects dust till next Sunday.
I'll leave it on the back.
You don't never
of the
car. Open it up. And then you're watching all this degenerating stuff on that television.
That's right.
And if it ain't that, you're on the telephone putting somebody down.
That's right.
Amen. This ought not to be so for a Christian.
That's right.
Because we have a mandate from God, Dr. Youngblood, as I've done that study, we were talking before the broadcast. Right. On that word, dominion, how God gave Adam dominion over everything that he made.
Right.
And I found 15 different definitions in the Hebrew as well as the Greek for the word dominion, and all of them point back to judging.
Judging.
But that is supposed to be judgment based upon his word, which is correct information.
Absolutely.
Now, if we're not making a call or making the right call, based upon correct information, this is stuff that we know, then we end up being a critique,
right.
A person that is critiquing a situation based upon false assumptions.
Right.
And when we look at, a lot of times when people criticize or other people or certain things, it's based upon things that they don't even know about the person.
That's right.
I was talking to my wife the other day about this, how people cast judgment on other people. Never saw the person before in their life, but they turn around and say, look at him. He thinks he's this. How do you know? Do you know this person? Have you ever spoken with this person to see what they think?
Well, we
make a call based upon false assumption, things that we don't even know about ourselves.
Good
so
example.
It becomes critical.
Yes, a good example of that. I just recently read an article where a renowned pastor was in a series of meetings at a church, and one of the men on the front row of the church was sound asleep while he was preaching. And so he assumed in his inner heart of judging the man that he is just a Christian that is not concerned, not interested, doesn't even want to listen to me.
My.
That was the whole time he was preaching. After the service, he got an opportunity to meet the man and his wife, and the wife was explaining to the pastor that her husband had been very ill. He was on heavy medication, but he wanted to go hear his favorite preacher come and preach, and because the medication was so heavy, it put him to sleep. So it wasn't a matter of the man's difficulty. It was a matter of misunderstanding what he saw in the man sleeping on the front row in the church.
Amen.
And
make
passing judgment as to what it could be. That's what Jesus is talking about, but he goes further then and talks about what we ought to do.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this text in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Jesus is very clearly, very definitively, very definitely not foreclosing, not saying that a Christian ought not to censure, that a Christian ought not to confront, that a Christian ought not to challenge and in some way say something to someone about sin that's in the life. The difficulty is, in verse 4, Jesus says, how can you condemn, censure, correct, judge thy brother when you have such a huge problem of sin in your own life?
My.
That's what Jesus is saying there.
Amen. Amen.
So, Pastor, I have used this terminology many years in teaching this text. If an individual, let me just back up and use the illustration. You recall back in the late 80s where Jim Baker and a number of other preachers got caught up in pointing the finger at each other about sin. And time that started happening, someone in the background brought out the sin in their life. One of the ones that was pointing out the sin in Jim Baker's life wound up being caught cheating on his wife with a major sin in his life,
Amen.
The same sin that he was claiming on Jim Baker.
That's right.
It was the hypocrite that was saying, look at what you're doing, and he was doing the same thing and finally got caught in doing the same thing.
Amen.
So what the scripture is saying, what Jesus is saying is that it is not a matter that you cannot confront sin. It's not a matter that you're not supposed to identify sin. It is the same word anakrino, the diakrino, and the word krino means to discern, to discriminate, to analyze, to censure. In fact, Pastor, I believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5 is a good illustration. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5. If you have that handy, read that for us.
Amen. Should say here, 1 Corinthians 6 and 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes down in verse number 6 and say, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Yeah.
Amen. Now that's something, Dr. Youngblood, I have never believed in, because if you're saved and I'm saved, I understand we might not always have the same opinion about things.
Mm-hmm.
We might not even agree on the same thing, but we ought to be able to come to some kind of resolution between one another.
That's
we ought to be able to meet on common ground, which is the word of God.
That's what Paul is saying there, because he is saying there, don't you have someone in your church?
Amen.
That's a wise, mature Christian that can adjudicate the problem and make a judgment call in confronting and censuring and examination of the sin.
Amen.
And the scripture also says, Pastor, and you can share that with us, doesn't the scripture say that we're going to judge angels?
Amen. 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 And, you know, we really need to understand that from the context, again,
yes,
of what you're saying.
Yes.
The scripture said, amen, how we, do you not know, dare any of you, verse number one, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints. Verse two, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked that up, Dr. Youngblood, it pointed me, I think that's a Revelation chapter 19, amen, where we're going to judge the fallen angels.
That's right.
And my friend, your judgment is going to have to be sound.
That's right.
It's going to have to be based upon the word of God.
Sound
or
word. Absolutely.
God is simply not going to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Even in today's life, as we are living right now, my friend, if you don't have a holy life to back up. In other words, if you're not practicing what you preach, God can't use
you're
you.
You're in trouble. Absolutely.
God can't use
absolutely.
You, my friend. Amen.
So the point is, Pastor, that I want our listeners to understand, judge not lest you should be judged. Jesus is not declaring that we are not to judge sin. Hear
Amen.
Me. Hear me well. Jesus does not say that we do not have that authority, that responsibility, and that ability to do so. He is making very, very clear that before we point our finger at a brother in Christ or a lost person out of Christ, outside of Christ, and point that sin out, that that ought not to be found in our lives. That it is absolutely going to come, as you put it in the clear, in the young blood vernacular, it's going to come back and slap you in the face.
Amen.
If you try to do that.
Amen.
That's what Jesus
Amen.
Is saying here in the text. But the key to it is, ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus is saying, and he comes to the final conclusion on that, is the unequivocal prerequisite, the unequivocal prerequisite that's found. Thou hypocrite. In other words, who is he calling the hypocrite? He's calling the one that is saying, you've got a splinter in your eye. You've got a toothpick in your eye. I've got a beam, a two before in my eye, but I don't see that. I don't pay attention to that. I don't look at that sin in my life, but I'm looking at that little fly speck of a sin in your life. And Jesus says, thou hypocrite.
Amen.
That word hypocrite, as you said a moment ago, means play actor.
Amen.
Play actor, one that is acting out one part. If you have a certain sin in your life, it is not right before the Lord that you stand and say, look at the sin in your life. That's what God is saying through God's word with Jesus speaking. First, notice now, here's the key to whole text. Here's the key. He says in that fifth verse, first, that is before you judge your brother, first before examination, first before criticism, first before censure, first before doing this, cast the beam out of your own eye.
Amen.
Before you judge sin, cast the beam, the 2x4, out of your own eye. And he says, then, verse 5, then when? first.
Amen.
That word is protos, priority, number one.
Amen.
Jesus says, you must examine sin, you must correct sin, you must confront sin, you must go to the one that has that sin and point that sin out. You must confront sin, regardless of them pointing that little bony finger at your eye and saying that thou shalt, you ought not to judge me, judge not. Before you do that, he says, make sure that you've taken that beam out of your own eye. Then, he says,
you can
once
see clearly.
You've done that, you can see clearly.
Amen.
Once
Praise
you've removed that, he points out to examine sin and to judge sin, then thou shalt see clearly. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there are a lot of folks that have blurred vision, spiritually speaking, blurred vision. And with that blurred vision about what is sin, for example, we have a multitude today, Pastor, that look at the sodomite lifestyle and say, that's okay. We have a number of Christians today that look at the abortion standard and saying, that's okay. We have a number of Christians today that are looking at the drug way of life and said, that's all right. We have a number of Christians today, even pastors, that will stand in the pulpit and praise Black Lives Matter and critical race theory and embrace that and say, that's all right.
Amen.
And at the same time, trying to talk about preaching the gospel or teaching the gospel or talking about sin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like that senator that was elected from Georgia, Warnock. I call him the Warlock.
Amen.
He says he's a pastor, but he embraces the sodomite lifestyle. He embraces the critical race theory. He embraces Black Lives Matter. He embraces murder by way of abortion and says that it's okay. And yet he says that he's a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I do not understand.
Do not understand.
And then he turned around, Dr. Youngblood, and told those people to go out there and riot.
Yes.
He egged these people on
yes.
to go out in the streets.
Absolutely.
And protest and riot, burn, loot. Mm-hmm. And then think about it. He, along with our vice president and some others, when these people got in trouble, they went and paid their bond to get them out of jail.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's what you call perverted vision.
That's what you call a hypocrite.
Amen. Amen.
A hypocrite.
Amen. Now, when we look at the situation, and my mind went back to when you were talking about the ones pointing the bony finger
yeah.
and saying, amen, this is the case. Nathan the prophet did the same thing with David.
That's right.
Now,
thou art the man.
He could have been beheaded.
That's right.
Because David was the king.
That's right.
But he went back and he told David all about himself. First, he gave him an example. And sometimes that's what you have to do with people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set the truth out before them to see if they're going to choose
that's
the
right.
truth.
That's right.
Sometime they will, sometime they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, David couldn't see the light until Nathan pointed that bony finger at him.
Mm-hmm.
What you just said,
right.
and said, thou art the man.
Right.
And then look at David. David made a judgment call upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say Uriah did this. He didn't say Bathsheba did this. He said, I have sinned.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to come to that conclusion first, what you just got through saying.
Mm-hmm.
Judge yourself first.
That's right.
Make sure you are in the right and proper standing with God. Then you can judge others in other situations. In other words, not criticizing, but making the right call, letting people know this is not something that you should be doing because the Word of God says such and such is the case.
That's right. In
fact,
don't
go by what you think and what you feel
fact,
unless it's based upon the Word of God.
Pastor, as you're talking about that, that reminds me, and my mind just went to that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking about that very same thing. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And that word means to judge.
Amen.
Let a
Amen.
Man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and the drink of the cup. And for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning, not judging the Lord's body.
Amen.
For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we, notice verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Come on, preacher.
If
You're
we were called sin, sin,
Amen.
We would not have to
Praise
have someone
God.
Called it sin.
Amen.
Very, very clear
Praise
in the
Lord.
Scripture. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world.
My, my.
It is very clear.
Powerful.
In fact, when you go back to what the scripture says, Pastor, further in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it talks about God chastening his own.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Spanking
Amen.
His own.
Amen.
And Jesus is saying here, ladies and gentlemen, in this text, he is not, let me repeat again, for the umpteenth time in this study, Jesus is not saying that we do not have the authority, we do not have the directive, we do not have the ability to judge sin. We do. He calls upon us to do that in judging sin and calling sin. But he says that first we must examine, criticize, and censure, cast that beam out of our own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to remove, to point out, to examine, to judge, to correct, and to censure the mote that is the toothpick, the sin that's in the brother's eye.
Amen.
Jesus clearly directs us to judge sin, to examine sin, and call sin, sin, and to determine and correct the sin in another's life.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. And you know, Dr. Youngblood, really today, my prayer is that Christians would stand up and be Christian.
Yes.
This is the only way that we can save life alive in society today.
Yes, that's right.
Because society is on the wrong track. We are called to be salt and light. We are supposed to shine, amen, the light, reflect, amen, God to society, and let them see the power of an on time in a living God.
Yes.
And not only that, we are supposed to season. We are supposed to add flavor to life.
Absolutely.
And then we are supposed to preserve. That's what salt does. Amen.
Return.
If we learn to stand and do it the way that God says, and he puts it so plain in his word so many times, what he expects of us as his people, then, Dr. Youngblood, God will bless America.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And so many times, just as recently had an opportunity to talk with a dear family in relationship to a family member that has gone into the sodomite lifestyle. And they're concerned about what can they do, how should they do. And they've had conversation with that individual, and that individual talked about, you can't judge me, you can't tell me what to do. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, if you have a family member that's in sin, whether it is gambling or drinking or the sodomite lifestyle, et cetera, you have the right, you have the responsibility, you have the duty to examine it, to confront it. Just as Pastor Davis just mentioned about Nathan pointing the bony finger at David and saying, thou art the man.
Amen.
It is the responsibility that we have as Christians, as pastors, as Christian moms, as Christian dads, to point that sin out, and we do so in love. In that love, planting the seed of the Word of God, that God's Word will not come back void, that God's Word will bear fruit, and to cause that person to change, to turn, and to recognize the sin and allow God to change their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you today to study the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to have a place in your heart and life, and don't allow anyone to tell you that you don't have that responsibility and opportunity before God to censure, to correct, and to chide, and to confront sin when you find it.
Amen.
But be very clear, as Jesus says, first examine your own heart and life and get that sin out, and then thou shalt be able to see clearly. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
And remember to go to church on Sunday.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.